Hey, this is a great weekend to be here if you're here for the first time because we're starting a new series. It's always cool to be here the first week because then you don't like feel behind or are left out. We're starting a series called Above Average. I have never met anybody in my life who aspires to be average. I don't know if you have. If you have, you probably get that person some counseling. But, I mean, nobody ever just, like, wants to be average. Nobody wants to be the average husband or dad or the average wife, average coworker, average supervisor, average business owner. Reality is all of us want to be above average at everything we do. And here is just a crazy fact. This idea of being average, it's not really attention for most of us. And you know why? Because most of us don't classify ourselves as average, do we? I mean, we don't. We don't rate ourselves like that. I'll be honest, if you came to me and said, hey, are you like the average pastor? I'd say, no way. No, not at all. And in a lot of ways, hopefully that's true. But if I ask you about your job or your career, what you do, you'd say no. If someone asked you, are you an average employee? You'd go, no way. I'm one of the best there. Are you an average wife or husband? No. More often than not, we rate ourselves above average. In the past 25 plus years of doing this thing called ministry, I've had the opportunity to talk to hundreds and hundreds of guys that were looking for a wife. And I would always ask them, like, what are you looking for? Not one of them ever came in my office and went, I'm just looking for an average woman, just an average girl. That's all I want. None of them said that. Matter of fact, what most of them said, I'm like, you know what? Don't get married. It's just, you're never going to find, you know. So they were always looking for somebody way above average because we don't like average in our world. We want to do business with people who are better than average at their job. If you go shopping, you want to get clothes at a place that carries better than average clothes. If you're going to get your vehicle repaired, you don't go just any place. You want an above average mechanic. And here's what's crazy. Averages are an indicator of what is most true about us. Do you know that averages are an indicator of what's most true about most of us? There are people who make a living finding averages. There are these in-depth studies that these people do, like what does the average person eat for dinner? How much ice cream does the average person consume in 1 year? What's the average income of a family? This is the genius behind marketing. Because think about this. Have you ever watched TV and you think, how'd they know I need that? How did they know that? Because they've studied you, they watch you everywhere you go, and I don't know who they are, do you? Because they've never talked to me, they've never called me, they've never sent me a piece of mail, but they're out there, and they're figuring out averages. And these averages, they usually indicate what's true of most of us. And the truth is, for most of us in this room, the averages they find are based on us. In some way, it's an indicator of what's true of us. And some of you might be thinking, you know what? I'm okay with being average. I mean, what's wrong with being an average American? I live in the greatest country in the world, and I believe that, absolutely, that it's the greatest country in the world. But some people go, you know, so what? I want to share some data with you that we found about the average American. This is the first thing we found. The average American spends 103% of their income. Doesn't take long to do the math, does it? I am not at all. I'm not good at math at all. I barely made it through Algebra 1 my senior year. I think even my second senior year. But it's like 103%. I don't think that's good. Here's another thing. The average American has $15,000 of credit card debt. I actually thought that was going to be a little bit higher because I wanted to be in that category. But anyway, you know, it's like, you know what? Here's another one. The average American is 23 pounds overweight. Here's a good one, and don't raise your hand or nudge the person next to you. The average American hates their job because of their boss. Some of you are like, yeah, I know that guy. He might be here. Stop, all right? All of a sudden, being an average American probably doesn't look that good. Since it's Father's Day, we thought we'd toss in a cool averages about dads. This one blows my mind away. The average American dad spends 27.5 hours a week engaged in entertainment. We're talking about like golf, hunting, TV, computer, 27.5. Now, here's the deal. To get an average, that means that there has to be numbers a lot higher than that number you're seeing, right? And I'm going, what do these guys do for a living? Because you know what? I'm going, how do we get that? And then here's this one. The average American dad spends 7 hours a week engaged with his kids. Do you know that the average American, the more money they make, the less they give percentage-wise to charity or people who need it? Here's a crazy one. The average American's attention span is 8 seconds. 8 seconds. I just lost some of you. I know. I really know how it works now. We fall just short of the goldfish that has an attention span of 9 seconds. A goldfish. and we're human beings. I was looking at these stats the other day, and I called Kevin. I go, we think we're cool because we can get people in and out of church in an hour. We're horrible. It should only be 8 seconds, all right? So starting next week, you better get here on time next week, okay? Because if you don't get here in time, it's going to be over before you know it. I don't know how we're going to do worship and a message, but I don't know. Maybe when you came in this morning, you were like okay with being average, but hopefully you're having second thoughts. In Scripture, Jesus taught three behaviors that could help you and I be above average. Three behaviors that we're going to look at over the next few weeks. And before we dive in this morning, we developed a little test to determine if you are an above average crowd, okay? Because we need to know for this series. So we're going to put a statement up in just a little bit on the screen, several statements. And as soon as we put them up, I'm going to read it aloud. And then I want you to shout out the answer, okay? It's not school. You don't have to raise your hand, all right? As soon as you see it. Here's the first one. It's an easy one. An eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. All right, check out this one. This is talking about maybe if you offend somebody, you should turn the other cheek. Let's try another one. This is like you might have said this about somebody. He would give the shirt off his back. What about this one? Go the extra. This is crazy because I want you to think about something. Do you know where all these little phrases originated? The Bible. First Scripture, Jesus. Jesus said these things. More specifically, he said them in a sermon that we call the Sermon on the Mount. And they're phrases that all kinds of people across the entire world use when they're trying to communicate that something or someone is above average. And the cool thing is these phrases originated from Scripture. They came from stuff Jesus said. And if you're scratching your head going, well, I don't know, then you find a document older than Scripture that proves they came from there. That's where they came from. And some people debate whether or not the Sermon on the Mount was one specific sermon or was it a collection of sermons that Matthew just kind of grouped into one. Because if you look in Mark and Luke and John, these teachings show up in different places. And churches and Bible scholars have argued about that for years. And I'm really not sure. And I don't really know that it matters really at the end of the day. The one thing that most Bible scholars do agree on is that Jesus wasn't trying to say to the people that the old way or the old law was bad. He was just saying it got us to where we're at. And now I'm going to raise the bar. I'm going to set a new standard. I'm going to show you what a follower of Christ should look like. And in this teaching, Jesus talks about an average road. He calls it a wide road, and he says it's easily traveled, and it's often traveled. And then he talks about a narrow road. He said this road is a little bit more difficult to navigate, and not many people choose this road, but it'll lead to an above-average life. He's telling his listeners, if you want to experience life and the things that I have for you, you got to take the narrow road, and it is going to be a little bit more difficult. And then he gives some instructions to his listeners as to what this road looks like and to what they need to do to travel on this narrow road. In Matthew 5, he says this, "You have heard it said, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." The reason that Jesus said to his listeners that day, "You've heard it said," is because everybody he was talking to had heard that saying. Because it was more than a saying, it was actually in the law, and they knew the law. You can find it in Exodus and Leviticus. It's referring to this thing that the Bible calls the law of retaliation. They actually had a law of retaliation in their law. And this was a law saying, listen, some of you are taking this whole get even thing overboard. Have you ever heard somebody say, hey, I don't get mad, I just get even? You ever heard that? And you know what? They don't get even, do they? They go overboard. None of us just get even, right? That's for sissies, man. We go further. This is a law saying if you retaliate and you can, you got to keep it even. In other words, if you steal a cow from me, I can come steal a cow from you, but I can't take a cow, a horse, 12 chickens, a rooster. You can't do that. This law was saying you can, if somebody offends you or steals from you, you can retaliate. It means you can do that. But what it was saying is you can't take Cousin Bubba with you, all right? You can't take your best buddy's son, Brutus. You can't let everybody know because that's what we do, right? Someone does us wrong, man, and we rally the troops. Don't shop there anymore. Don't buy food. I mean, we all get mad. They knew this type of behavior would cause a civil war, so the law allowed a controlled, if you will, form of retaliation. It didn't say you had to retaliate, but their law in that day said you can retaliate. However, you got to keep it even. And then Jesus comes along, and he introduces this idea of not retaliating. I mean, this law was the normal. The average person would retaliate. And Jesus comes along and says, you've heard it said, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Resist here means retaliate or to repay evil with evil. It appears like Jesus is saying, listen, I know the law allows for you guys to do that. I know that, but that's average. I want you to be above average. I want more for you. I want better for you. His listeners had to be thinking, wait a minute, because he's saying, so when they wrong you, don't do the whole payback thing. And then he gives them four illustrations that they could relate to or understand. And in all four of these illustrations, he addresses the law. He goes on and says this, a verse you all have heard. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Now, I don't know about you, but that verse bothered me for years, especially as a dad. And my wife and I would debate over those. I would say to my kids when they started school, hey, you get picked on. Okay, that guy hits you. You clock him back. And my wife would go, no, the Bible says. And I'm like, well, hit him with the Bible. You know, how you like that? Hit that sucker square in the head with your Bible, you know, and take the big one. Take that one that mama used to have out that's like, you know, 40 pounds. This scripture has been twisted and taken out of context so many times. This isn't a scripture about someone whose life is in danger. It's not a scripture about someone getting beat on. It's not a scripture saying you should let bullying happen or you should be a doormat. It's not a scripture about someone hitting you in the face. Everyone in their culture understood this. But we have trouble because we weren't there. We weren't the listeners that Jesus was talking to. If you're a real practical person, you can think about it like this. 90% of people are right-handed. And you know what that means? If a right-handed person came to you and clenched their fists and they were going to punch you in the face, you know what cheek they'd hit you in? The left, because they're going to swing with their right hand. So it seems like Jesus would have said it a different way and said, okay, no, but he said the left cheek here. So you look at that and go, what's going on? In their culture, one of the highest forms of insult and a way to offend somebody was to slap them. And not just slap them, but to backhand them, okay? It wasn't a smack to knock somebody out or knock their lights out. It was a backhand. And if you're right-handed and you backhand somebody, what cheek do you hit them in? You hit them in the right cheek. Again, this was a smack. It wasn't, I'm going to just, you know, clean your house here. This statement wasn't about being attacked. It was about you being insulted, an insult that would offend or embarrass. That's what this scripture is about. And Jesus is saying, when that happens, don't retaliate. Don't lash back. That's average. Don't strike back. I want more for you. Then he goes on and says this, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Another thing the law had in their day, the law was very, very precise because there was a lot of rich people, and if they went to court with a poor person, they always won, no matter what. And some of you are thinking, times haven't changed. It's like the rich person won. And so the law was trying to protect them. And so what they were saying to the rich people is you can sue that person for their shirt or their inner garment, but you can't take their coat. And the reason was for that poor person, that coat was more than a coat. It was a blanket. It was a pillow. It was shelter. It was protection. It was storage. It's all they had. And Jesus was saying here, if somebody tries to rob you or take something personal from you, be generous to them. Now, some of the poor people are probably going, well, wait a minute, the law's already in place. The law's there to protect loss. And Jesus is saying, I know, but I want you to be generous. If somebody's trying to steal something from you, I want you to be generous to them. Then he goes on and says this, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. In the first century, a Roman guard carried all kinds of equipment, weapons, and supplies, and they could legally require anyone who was Jewish to carry all of their military gear for up to 1 mile. And the Jewish people absolutely hated this. So when a Roman guard would see them and grab them, they had stepped out exactly how many steps were in a mile, and they would pick up all the weapons, all the equipment, and they would carry it for a mile, and they would drop it and take off because they knew they wouldn't be pursued. They knew they wouldn't be in trouble. And Jesus comes along here and says, I know what the law says concerning this, but listen, if somebody dumps their responsibilities on you, pick them up, take care of them, complete them, be above average. And if this isn't enough, Jesus goes on and says one more thing. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Now remember, when you read the Bible, you got to look, Jesus is talking specifically to people. In their world, they had this thing called the law of lending. And every 7 years, everybody's debts were canceled. That would be great, wouldn't it? Every 7 years, man, just, hey, MasterCard, hey, 7 years, click, quit calling, no more calling. Okay, so here's what happened. In the later part of the 6 year, people would line up to borrow things. They'd line up and sign up for credit because they knew in just a few short months their debt would be forgiven. because it wasn't 7 years from when they borrowed. It was just every 7 years. So people would go crazy. But this also meant the people who had plenty and the people who could lend, they got tight. They got stingy at that point because they knew people weren't really coming to borrow. They were coming for a free handout, and they had no intentions of paying it back. But when they got stingy, that would even turn away people who actually needed help. And Jesus was saying, listen, if you have extra, don't let the seventh year coming up slow you down. Basically, what he was saying is help people when you can. Don't let anything determine whether or not you're going to help someone except for the fact, do you have the means to help them? Be above average. Don't look for the return. But he also didn't say just give them the farm. He didn't say give them everything you have and you work hard for. He said be responsible. But if you can give, give. Basically, Jesus is saying turn the other cheek. If someone offends you, turn the other cheek. Give the shirt off your back. Go the extra mile. Help people who are in need. And just like you and me, his listeners were looking at him going, this is crazy talk. Why should we do that? Nobody does that. But I want you to listen. Just stop and listen for a second. Don't we like people who do those things? You and I like people, and secretly we want to be those people. We really do. We say things. You've all said things about people. We have a guy in our neighborhood who is one of the nicest guys I've ever met. And when the neighbors get together and talk about him behind his back, we all say things like, man, he would give the shirt off his back. And we all have a really huge high level of respect for him. Jesus was like, listen, don't be average. It's as if Jesus was saying, listen, don't just meet people's expectations, exceed them. If you're anything like me, and I'm just being honest, a lot of times people's expectations weigh me down. You ever feel that way? Where you go, okay, you got a boss, or you got people you work with, or people you work for, or you got a friend, you got a teacher, you got a kid, you got a spouse, you got a coach. They weigh us down because we look and they get to set those expectations. And you and I look and go, man, they're weighing us down. And Jesus comes along and he's saying, hey, listen, I want you to be free. I want you to enjoy life. So here's the deal. I want you to choose to go beyond their expectations. Don't stop there. And just see how liberating that might be. Don't be average. Don't do just what's expected. Go beyond and see how that works. I want to ask you something. Can you imagine how some of your relationships would be affected if you went beyond what was expected? I mean, for some of us guys, if we got home 30 minutes early from work and helped with dinner, it might give our wives a heart attack, but I mean, it would help the relationship later while you're sitting by her in the hospital bed, right? Or if you're a kid here, if you got up from the table without being asked, took your dirty dishes, went over and rinsed them off and then placed them in the dishwasher and came back for your mom and dad. It's a new thought, I know. And some of you are like, why would you do that? All right, some of you at work, if that project that's due in 2 weeks, if you got it done in a week, what would that do? It's crazy what going the extra mile will do. It's crazy what it will do for you, but also what it will do in somebody else's life. The funny thing about these four illustrations that Jesus gave is they all have something in common, and they're all way closer to home than many of us may think because they're all four relational. What they have in common is a broken relationship. They all four have in common some sort of stressed relationship like hurt, and everybody in here has been hurt before. And when you get hurt, here's what people that know you expect you to do. Hurt the person back, or grow distant, put up a wall. And nobody's mad about it, right? They just go, oh, yeah. Or we've all had something stolen from us. Maybe it was literally, maybe it was emotionally. And people expect us to lash out and strike back, and nobody holds you accountable. They just go, yeah, I mean, they did it to you. Some of you have been exploited by someone in authority. They've required you or demanded you to do things that aren't fair and aren't right. They manipulated you. You've had to carry their load. Some of you have people in your life that you have helped over and over and over again, and they burn you over and over and over again. And they say things like, I'm going to pay you back. And you're going, no, you haven't. You can't. It's impossible. And Jesus comes along and says these crazy things. If someone hurts you, turn the other cheek. If someone steals something from you, be generous to them. If someone has exploited you or used you, go the extra mile. If you've been burned, continue to lend a helping hand. Why? Because I want you to be above average, because this produces peace. I want you to experience real freedom, above average freedom. Jesus is saying, I want you to have above average relationships, but to have them, you have to go above average expectations. Don't get caught up in life and just what's expected. And here's the only way you and I can do this with God's help. There's no way we do this one on our own. And guess what? Jesus' death on the cross paved the way to the second mile for you and I. Because of what he did for us, he can give us the strength to go the second mile. What we have to do is believe in and trust in him and to make effort. I know a young man who's 19 years old and he's coaching a little league baseball team of like 12 and 13-year-old kids. And one of the kids recently, his dad passed away. And this 19-year-old kid that was coaching was like, man, I can't even imagine what this kid is feeling. And he went and got this baseball bat and like carved his dad's initials or something in the baseball bat and took it over to the house and was hanging out with the kid, just talking about life and his dad. And in this league, most of the coaches in this league are adults that are 30-something or 40-something years old. And they found out through the grapevine what this 19-year-old coach did. And they were like, wow, blown away. And they all said, what else can we do? And they all began to rally around and help this family. Everybody had extended their condolences. Everybody had said thank you. But it just took one person, and ironically a 19-year-old, that goes, you know, I'm going to go a little bit above what that family would expect. And then everybody else around started helping. And now here's this kid who just lost his dad, and all these dads are jumping in. And they're trying to fill a gap and a void, and they're helping out. And it was because somebody just had enough integrity and concern to go, I'm just going to take one more step and go one more step of what people expect. Going the extra mile helps you, but it helps people around you. It helps people who see. I want to encourage you, don't allow other people's expectations to control you. You make your own choice. Go above their expectation. Don't stop there. And there's something about it that's so liberating. It's a difficult road, and Jesus said it was. But he said if you choose to travel it, you live above average. And that's what he wants for you. Let's pray. God, thank you for making some things so incredibly clear to us. Like, number one, your love for us. You made that crystal clear by sending your one and only son, Jesus, to die on that cross for us. And Jesus, we thank you for just making other things so clear in Scripture. God, thank you that this text has been preserved for thousands and thousands of years so that we can learn and be challenged and grow. And God, I pray that somehow, in a way that only you can do, and I believe it's through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you can allow us to go the extra mile, that you can allow us to give the shirt off our back, that you would give us strength to turn the other cheek. God, I believe with all my heart that you want us in these areas to live above average and to represent you and your love for humans and mankind in a really, really crazy, cool way. And God, we're asking you today to give us strength. And I'm sure, God, in a room with this many people, there are people here who have been used or hurt or stolen from or done wrong in ways that hurt so deeply. And God, we're asking somehow, some way, that you would give us the strength to forgive and you'd give us the strength to go above what's expected and to do what's just above what people would expect out of us. And God, as we do that, I thank you that we will live above average in many ways. And the biggest way, God, that we'll have above average peace in this crazy world. And that's what we all long for. God, we thank you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to encourage you guys to stay with us for this series because we're going to look at some more stuff next week that's very cool, some stuff that I don't think I've ever really seen maybe the right way in Scripture. And I want to encourage you this week, man, go above average. When people put expectations on you, just exceed them and see what it does on the inside of you, into your heart, into your life, and watch what it does to other people. Because it's always, always, always those people, if you think about it, that we talk about. Those are the people that behind their back we're going, man, that's so cool. And I think it's secretly because we're going, we want to be like that someday. My wife, when we talk about stuff at home, and I tend to be the glass half empty guy all the time, and she's always it's half full. And she always says, you got to start somewhere. You got to start sometime. So why not today? Why not start today going the extra mile and just living in an above average way.